Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Stephen Lewis, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Shortly, Dr. Neela Peake joins us to discuss how to invite spirit into healing and therapy. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host, Maureen. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing just fantastic. Thank you so much for asking. I'm looking forward to the show.
Oh, I am as well. It's going to be very, very interesting. But before we get started with the interview, would you share with us what you do at PsychicAccess.com?
Yes, absolutely. I'm an intuitive psychic empath. I utilize tarot, as I feel tarot is a symbolic record of human experience, and that's all there is to it. Being an empath also is costly, because I can get overloaded by other people's emotions, which makes me kind of jumping around.
Right.
But on the other hand, it benefits people because I can quickly form a deep connection with others, and I work over at Psychic Access, and I love my work.
Well, I love your work too. I swear, I watch you every week in action here on the Psychic Viewpoint, and it's always very educational for me. I definitely learned a lot from you. You're a wonderful, wonderful counselor and a wonderful psychic. So thank you for being here tonight, Maureen. We'll definitely catch up on the banter, okay? Also, we have here tonight Steve, a very good friend and esteemed colleague. How are you doing tonight, Steve?
I'm doing well, thank you, Stephen, apart from a rotten cold.
Oh, man, colds are definitely rotten. I'm sorry to hear that. And all of us are sending you some good vibes so that you can recuperate very quickly.
Oh, it's no big deal. I'm feeling good other than that. It's good to be back.
Well, it's definitely great to have you back, Steve. But would you mind sharing with our listeners what your psychic specialties are?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium, which means that I specialize in connecting with spirit and helping people to connect with their loved ones that have passed to the spirit world. I very much enjoy that part of my work. I'm also an astrologer, like yourself, Stephen, and very much enjoy using astrology to help people understand themselves and predict when things are most likely to occur.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Well, as you know, tonight's topic is about the admixture of spirit, spiritualism, and conventional therapy. So I'm definitely, I've always loved it when these two topics come together, and the interview is really, really going to be fascinating. But you know what? Nona Marie is here with us tonight as well, and she'll be interviewing our guest, Dr. Neela Peake. Hi, Nona Marie. How are you doing?
I'm just wonderful. How are you?
I'm just wonderful as well. Very excited to hear about your guest. But before you describe Dr. Peake to us, can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
I do readings. I try to do predictive readings and tell people how their entire life is going to work out in 5 to 7 minutes. I'm kidding. But sometimes that's what people want, is what's going to happen. And we have only 5 minutes here. So it is challenging and it's wonderful. And I love the people who call in. I also do pet readings at times when people call in for that, and medium work. And I use numerology when we have the time to do that. But that is not very often on the call-in line. It's a little bit hard to do, to run a chart real quickly and talk about that.
Right. What we do, you know, we have to do it very, very quickly, and we have to be right. So it's definitely a challenge. Well, can you tell us a little bit about your guest tonight?
Oh, she is fabulous. I've known her, or of her, and been sort of an associate colleague with her since, I think, 1985. And what I love about her is that she started off as a clinical psychologist and became involved and has a history of working with people who channel spirit and became very familiar with working with energies, like really strange and wonderful energies, and then incorporated that into her mainstream therapy practice, so it's not so mainstream anymore. So it's a wonderful combination of sound training as a psychologist combined with a very fearless approach to using energy and spiritual concepts in therapy. And I wish we had more therapists like this out there in the world, because very often you can't go to a therapist and deal with past life issues or deal with psychic phenomena. They will just give you medication or the name of an institution that you might want to visit for a while. So it's wonderful to be able to go see a therapist who can put that in a proper context and also allow the person to work through emotions on many dimensions, not just on the earth plane. So I'm very excited to interview her today.
Oh, I'm excited to hear what she has to say. And actually, Dr. Neela Peake is ready.
Oh, good. Here we go. Neela, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello. How are you?
Hi. So I'm so excited to have you here. And I have like 4,000 questions. We probably won't get through all of them. So if there's particular points that you want to cover, make sure that you steer us in that direction. So what I'd like to know, first of all, is you started off as a regular, normal psychologist, and then you went into spiritual teaching and using energy in your therapies. Can you talk a little bit about what that transition was like and how that happened to you?
Well, sure. Of course, I hope that I'm still somewhat of a normal psychologist, but maybe those of us who work in the more spiritual planes become a little less, by some people's definition, normal. Right. But I did do traditional training. I do have a doctorate in psychology. I do wonder sometimes what my graduate school thinks of what I do now.
Right.
But I also spent about 6 years traveling with a spiritual teacher, being trained by him, and have learned a lot about spiritual energies. And as you have described in your introduction of me, I do a lot of integration of the two of them. So mm-hmm. when I work with somebody, sure, I can do all the traditional things that therapists do, but my tendency is to first sense and read their energy fields and to look for really where their absolute core issues are, because those get held energetically, and to help them to process them somewhat psychologically, but also spiritually, and to overcome them. And the challenge of that is what's most powerful and what most affects us are the things that we hold in our unconscious mind, not in the conscious mind. And so I will tend to go towards what are the unconscious core patterns that people hold, and then help them to resolve them.
So that is a great description. And what are some of the challenges, though, if you are tuning into people's unconscious energy patterns or stuck places? Very often when you mention this to somebody, because it's unconscious, they go, no, that's not true at all. So how do you,
right,
how do you
bridge
that?
Or they get very defensive or scared or angry that you brought this up.
Right.
And actually, that's one of the places where traditional training comes in really handy. You learn how to time the interpretations or the things that you're picking up. And so one of the things that I do, rather than as a traditional psychic might just sit with someone and say, okay, here's your pattern, I'll kind of blend it with the psychological training of guiding people towards what I'm feeling, and then being able to test their readiness to hear it or how deep they're willing to go. Because I can feel where in the body someone's holding an issue, I will tend to maybe work with them to feel the issue in their own body. So as much as possible, I try to help people come to the awareness themselves rather than kind of tossing it at them too quickly.
Right. So when you say you can feel it in their body and you help them work towards feeling it themselves, what does that look like? How does that happen?
Well, when I first started doing this work, I would have thought I'd had to be in the same room with them and actually work with the energies directly. But energy is very subtle, and it can be manipulated even at a distance. And so sometimes it just looks like they're talking about one thing, but I can feel that maybe in their heart there's a different kind of energy. And so I will guide them to try to feel what's going on in that particular part of their body giving them some clues. You know, is it, can you feel what, how you've just tightened up here, or how your breathing is shifting, or can you sense, you know, what that emotion's starting to feel like? And because I'm monitoring it, it makes it much easier for me to direct them.
So do you do this verbally, or do you have them meditate with you, or a combination of both?
Combination of both. When I work with people who have a meditation practice and are more open to it, I can work deeper with taking them into a meditation. I've done sessions on phone or Skype where I've actually had the person meditate and worked with them energetically as they're meditating.
Yeah, cool. So can you tell some stories or some examples of how you became convinced that energies actually exist? And I ask this because a lot of times, even though people call for psychics and are interested in psychic phenomena, they really have kind of a skeptical viewpoint about energy. Yes. And sometimes they don't even recognize when they're picking up on energy. So I'm wondering how you made that transition yourself, coming from, you know, more classical background into perceiving energies and then accepting them and integrating them into your work.
Oh, okay. I like that question. Because there's a part of me that started out this work somewhat skeptical. Mm-hmm. I was in a traditional, college. I was studying to be a psychologist. I've always had an interest in spirituality, but I had never really, at least I didn't know that I was feeling energies. And so when I first came about to learn about this, I tested it quite a bit. And one of the really cool things is that as a teacher, I get to sit in front of a class. And yes, I'm teaching, but I'm also, in a sense, exploring spiritual realms and, in truth, getting to test out some of my own theories. So I would sit in the classroom and I would sense like, gee, that person seems to be blocked in energy and it seems to be in that part of their body. And so I'd go over to them and I'd put my hands there and I'd work with them energetically. Or I would just say to them, it's, you know, I'm sensing that you're feeling a certain thing, and I would get to test it. And one of the things I did when I first began to teach was I wouldn't teach anything until I had first experienced it.
Right.
And so that I wouldn't be up there. I mean, as much as I absolutely believe in all of this, there's also that little part of my mind that's going, "Ooh, this is so far out there. And how can you be doing this with a doctorate?" And so I questioned it a lot. And, you know, it really is amazing when you're working with someone and you're going, oh, they've got energy held in their lower back, and you begin to work with it, and all of a sudden you go, ooh, that energy feels really angry, and then the person starts telling you all about their anger. And then when you feel the energy beginning to resolve, they start to feel better. So over the years, of course, it's gotten easier and easier for me to sense the energy, to trust what I'm feeling. And again, I keep getting confirmation from people that, yes, indeed, that's what's going on. And the best confirmation is watching people grow, watching people heal, watching people as they release some of these negative patterns in their body, that they just begin to function better, feel happier, feel healthier.
Right, right. And that's really a strong confirmation, probably for the person more so even than for you, that they see you talking about and dealing with energies, and then they feel themselves progress as that releases, which was kind of leads to another question I was thinking about of, have you ever worked with people that are really, really blocked? Their conscious, unconscious concepts are buried deep. And when you point out energetic issues to them, they don't seem to get a grasp on that. Have you encountered that? And what do you do with that?
Oh, absolutely. I've encountered it. And actually, I enjoy working with people like that because they're such an interesting challenge. That's where the blending of the psychological and the spiritual come in for me. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch it more to traditional psychological working with them, but I'm going to do it based on what I'm picking up intuitively. And so I will just kind of slow the process down and very slowly guide them and use examples from their life. If I say something energetically, like you're blocked there, they'll go, I don't know what you're talking about, or they'll get defensive, then I'll start to pick up, well, you know, can you see how in these particular incidences in your life or in these challenges you're going through in your life, how that kind of reflects this particular type of challenge? So I like blending the right brain and the left brain. And right. I have a lot of respect for people who are skeptical about this stuff. I actually think it's somewhat healthy. As you know, there's lots of people out there who are doing this kind of work who don't really well, they're a little almost too far out, or they don't really understand what they're doing.
Right.
And so I think people need to be very careful and very evaluative when they work with someone, particularly someone who says, I'm going to intuitively tell you something. I tell people, you know, test this, make sure it feels right. If it doesn't, tell me it doesn't. And unless I can show them in their life the accuracy of it, I don't want them just accepting it blindly.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that statement of I'm going to intuitively tell you something can often send shivers of terror up my spine, depending on who the person is, because there are a lot
Me
of
too,
people
actually.
Out there.
And, you know, you want to empower people. The last thing you want to do in working with someone is say, I have the answers you don't.
Right.
That's why a lot of my work is let me help you find this inside yourself, because what I like to teach people is you have the answers. I'm just here to help you to get to those answers.
Right. What happens when you work with, I've run into some people that are, they're kind of the opposite of being buried. They're fractured. They're exploded. They have conspiracy theories. They feel they've been abducted and they've been used by government conspiracies, and they're just all over the place, and everything is spiritual, everything is psychic, and not much is grounded at all. What is your approach with that?
I have a feeling that you and I would agree a lot on that kind of issue. Everything has to be done in balance. If somebody absolutely has no spirituality in their life, I think that that can create some challenges for them. But if they're not grounded, it creates equal challenges. So in working with someone like that, first of all, I'm going to work with them energetically to try to bind the energies back together. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be very careful to work with grounding them first. And sometimes these are people that have had some kind of early trauma that has fractured them, or they really are so connected on a spiritual level that they're having difficulty functioning on this plane.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, I've worked with a lot of people like that. And my work with them always is about, you can't wield the spiritual energies until you have a solid grounding. So I'm not going to say, gee, let's just shut everything down or that's not okay. What I'm going to say is, first, let's give you a platform to function from well in this world, in this plane. You know, we've taken on a body in this life. Let's use it. And then once they're much more solid and stable, then I can work with trying to train them and how to work with the energies in a way that doesn't fracture them further.
Right. So, and have you run in, I'm asking this because there's some people I've worked with like this, and I'm very curious to see your take on it. Some people that are so badly fractured that it's almost like they reject any earth plane description of what's going on. And it's always about spaceships. It's always about psychic attacks, psychic rape, psychic visitations. And even though there's some grounding work that gets done, this is the place they flip back to the second there's any pressure on them from life. Have you run into that, and what do you do with that?
Well, you put that very well. They do. They flip back into it when there's pressure from life. These are people that underlying have a great deal of woundedness and fear about being in this plane, and so it's easier to go into that plane. And it happens for a number of reasons. I've worked with people that have been badly abused as children, and one of the things they've done is they've escaped outside of the physical body in order to escape the wounding. And to deal with that kind of wounding is very scary and very frightening. So in that kind of case, what I would do is very slowly try to get them back in touch with what was the early trauma and give them some ability to handle what happened. And then, you know, maybe be able to point out to them where it may not be serving them very well not to also be focused on this plane. We live here, we have to, you know, pay our rent and do all these boring things that buy food, feed ourselves. And if they're not capable of doing that, serving themselves well.
Right, right. Very interesting. Those kind of folks to me are extremely challenging, and it is to me so vitally important to have some kind of classical training, grounded training in psychology when working with people who are way out there spiritually, and especially if they've had trauma in their early childhood, which very often happens. So,
and what you're also pointing out is that these people are scared. Mm-hmm. And if you don't give them a place that feels safe or help them through their fear, then it's going to be almost too terrifying for them to come back to also work on this plane.
Right.
And, you know, when we're here in physical form, we really need to work with what we have here.
Exactly. I agree with that. But I find those fractured folks very often just run away from that. And for the reasons that you described, that it's just not safe to even think about their body and their life here on Earth has just been terrorizing. So, yeah.
Right.
So, and what about past lives? Do you ever do any work with incorporating that and the influence of a past life in therapy? I know there's some therapists who specialize in past life regression, but I also know there is a way to kind of integrate past life experiences, influences, revelations into therapy without necessarily going into regression. Do you work with that at all?
You're probably touching more on my left brain professional training here. I have had people flip into a very vivid experience that is not from their current existence that they will assume and certainly could be a past life. My basic feeling of that is that's fine. Let's deal with it like we would anything else. So if there was a trauma and it was in a past life, then we still deal with the trauma or what it may have done to on a soul level. But since I don't have the ability to confirm that this is from a past life, what I will do is work with it is this is material coming from the unconscious, whether it's an unconscious story or a past life regression, isn't as important as what does it do for you today. My whole idea, I guess, is that we're here in this current life, in this current body, and the challenges that we have are for us to deal with here and now. And so I would always bring it back to, well, how is that affecting you now? And how can you learn from that or use that to improve your life now?
Right, right. So how do you help people get grounded, the ones who, especially the ones that flee from it and are afraid of it or don't agree with trying to stay grounded here on Earth? What kind of things do you do? Because I'm wondering if just talking to them is enough. Are there meditation exercises you put them through? Do you influence them with your own energy?
Probably a little bit of all of that, but I'm rather cautious about giving too much meditation exercises to somebody who's already grounded. Right. For many people, meditation is the way for us to expand past just this plane. Mm-hmm. Or to awaken and open more of our consciousness. Meditation also tends to open the doorways between the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. Mm-hmm. And sometimes these people are already too flooded with things from the unconscious mind. So, of course, it would be individualized, and each person's different. I'd work with each person differently. But sometimes what happens, like you describe them as being like shattered.
Mm-hmm.
And there's truth to that. It's like there's different parts of them that are operating, not necessarily in conjunction. And so sometimes with those people, what I'll do is I'll go into the different fractured parts and work with them and heal the different fractured parts and then rejoin that to the whole. So if someone's scared, it may be that there's a trauma there. So let's start with just that one little part of a trauma. And sometimes that works becomes very fascinating where you have people that literally one day you're working with them and there's a little scared four-year-old who's talking to you about a trauma that part's been through. And you can try to heal that and then connect that to the next part. And the next day, it may be a seven-year-old part of them or a part that just went through something that was too scary to talk about. And it doesn't always mean that they'll say, oh, I had this trauma. Sometimes it's just there's this feeling of absolute terror. I can't breathe. And so I'll work with that part until they can breathe, until maybe they can tell me about it. I've had parts of people like that talk to me about recently a client I was working with who's been through some very serious trauma. It's like one day she was telling me, in essence, I don't trust you because you're trying to bring me back out in the world. And I know the other parts of me are trusting you, but I don't. And so that sounds kind of weird because they are fractured. But over time, they begin to reconnect. And then some of the stronger parts of the person can help some of the more scared parts of the person through it. And then when they become more connected through all the different wounded places, then they're not so scared about living in this world.
Right. This almost sounds like working with dissociative identity disorder, or as some people know it, multiple personality disorders, when you talk about working with these different parts. But it hasn't gone that far, I'm assuming. You're talking about taking these different aspects of people, and they still know about the different parts of themselves. They're not that far gone that they're dissociating completely. Or are you talking about that?
No, no, that's actually quite accurate. You know, all of us, even those who are functioning very well, we've had things that happened in our life that we've forgotten. And sometimes those things we've forgotten have quite an effect on us. Right. So, you know, we may have had a trauma and we don't remember the trauma, but we avoid a certain area of town because that was where the trauma took place. Or a friend of mine recently said he realized that he was coming to an intersection where he had an accident, and he wasn't thinking about the accident, but all of a sudden he started getting a headache. And one of the things that happened in the accident was he had hurt his neck. Mm. So these things are always operating in the unconscious mind. The bigger the trauma, sometimes the more we repress it. So these are not multiple personalities. They're people who've just had trauma that are suppressing that particular trauma, but then it's affecting them. Now, it's right. One thing if you get a headache at a certain intersection. It's another thing if your boss is speaking to you and all of a sudden you've just checked out and you can't hear a word they're saying.
Right, right. So there's two questions floating in my head. One is, when you say you heal and work with the fractured part and then move on, what does that look like? Is that talking? Is that they're quiet and you do energy work on them? I know it varies with each person, but what are some of the things that you do with that that healing and integrating a section of somebody?
Well, you have to remember that I always work towards trying to empower the individual. Mm-hmm. So if I'm working with someone, even if I'm also working with the energy, what I'm going to be doing is, because again, these are not multiple personalities. So I'm going to be directing them to recognize that part of themselves and to work along with me. So it would be, again, it would look different with different people, but for a lot of times it's like, let's talk to that part of you. Let's let that part come out and speak. Let's move you into the energy of that space. And sometimes the energy of that space can be very intensely emotional. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we may touch on it, and sometimes we may touch on it and say, okay, that's enough. That's really scaring you. Let's come back out now and then talk to them about what was that experience like? What were you aware of? How can you help this part of you? So I rarely work in a way where it's like, you know, you give me the power, I'll do it all.
So when somebody is talking as that part of themselves, are they in some kind of altered state, or do you ask them to just switch gears and kind of use their imagination to talk as if they were that 4-year-old or that 7-year-old or whatever's
coming? That's a good question too. Again, I try to keep them empowered, but that's where I will use some of my abilities to work with energy. Frequently, it's really bringing forth that part where they're into that part. It's not using their imagination, because to me, that's a little more of an intellectual exercise. Mm-hmm. It's using the emotional body, using the ability to feel. And yes, sometimes they're in an altered state. And, you know, when I'm working with them, you can see that they're, you know, their voice begins to sound young. The energy begins to go into that space. Their face may begin to shift. So they're really into that part of themselves. But we're also retaining a little bit of awareness that this is another part of you. You can bring yourself out. I can bring you out if it gets to be too much. So it's a combination. But to me, it's the emotional body we're working on. I've worked with people who've been in therapy for years, and they can tell me very calmly and very articulately all about the traumas that they've had. And yet I can see that the energy of that trauma still resides in the body.
Exactly.
And I believe that somebody is fully healed when the trauma is out of the body. And on an energy level, what it looks like to me is the energies in their body are much more open, much more free-flowing. There's not the block. Because when someone is traumatized, that becomes a block in the open flow of energy. So no, it's not going in and saying, what do you think this might look like? It's really going, feeling into that part, becoming connected to that part, and then freeing the energy that's within that trauma, which is why frequently there's can be some very intense emotion that comes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
I love this whole topic because I sometimes believe that people who get readings don't really grasp that a reading is like a trail map, but it is not the actual work of learning, processing, releasing, and going through all one needs to go through to grow through a challenge or to grow through some past trauma. So sometimes people will act like, well, you gave this reading and this and this and this did or did not happen, but the reading is just such a small part of healing. And I just wish more people understood that we really have to invest time in healing the self and developing the self, not just getting psychic abilities, because that in and of itself is kind of be a fruitless exercise. If you get wonderful abilities and you're still messed up on the human plane because you haven't dealt with your childhood or you haven't dealt with a death or a breakup.
Yes. One thing I say quite frequently to people is that doing this work requires tremendous courage.
Yes.
The hardest thing we can do is face the places inside of ourselves where we're scared, where we're hurt. None of us like pain. Why would we want to go to something that hurts? And it's also why, for me, I think it's really nice when there is a blending of psychic abilities and psychological training, because people are wounded and it's hard to go through those wounds.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree with you more. I wish it was required in mainstream training, because we all do have intuition. We all do have energy fields. We all do have some kind of psychic ability. It's a natural part of the human body and the human condition. And yet in mainstream psychology, unfortunately, it's sort of like a dirty little secret that we just don't talk about. And it's really a shame that there aren't more therapists out there that do the kind of work that you do.
And I'd like to see more intuitives, because there are people who are just wonderful healers and have natural psychic ability. And I'd like to make sure that they're all trained, that sometimes when you read like a person's trauma, you may reopen it. And then you're faced with somebody who's going through an emotional crisis.
Exactly. And correct. Totally agree with that. When I sometimes hear intuitives give readings, I cringe at the advice that's being given. It's just like not from a psychological perspective. To me, it is not sound advice that from all that we know about the human condition. So, yes, I totally agree with you. What kind of, for people who are listening, if they wanted to do some grounding work on themselves, because I think a lot of people know about meditation that is expansive, what does grounding work look like if you feel that you're spinning out of control or you're being psychically attacked or you're just feeling something pulling at you? What can people do to pull themselves back together until they can get some help from somebody else?
Well, the first thing to recognize is that our conscious minds are very powerful. It's actually one of the reasons why meditation is so challenging. We're sitting there and we're starting to open up, and then our mind goes, oh, did I buy that thing I had in my shopping list? And all of a sudden we lose the meditation. We're out of it. And so I'll actually sometimes encourage people to use that part of their mind. So if you're in a meditation and you start to feel like you're spinning out of control, or there's energies around you that are attacking you or that are too powerful for you to deal with, one of the things I tell people to do is think. Actually pull yourself out of it, and then remember that the conscious mind is actually more powerful than the unconscious mind. If it wasn't, we'd all be in trance states most of the time. So just stop and say, okay, I just felt something that was too strong. I don't want to feel that anymore. Let me come back into looking around the room I'm in and go do some kind of task that engages my left brain. And that shuts down the right brain. And when we're feeling some sense of the energies are too powerful, there's something that's pulling on us, that's from the unconscious mind. And so it's interesting, because sometimes I do spend time with people training them how to shut down their abilities until they've reached enough grounding to be able to utilize them.
Exactly. I love that. We're going to take a 1-minute commercial break and talk about psychic access and all the wonderful things that it offers. And we'll be right back.
Okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, we are back with Dr. Neela Peek, who is an extraordinary blend of a trained psychologist and energy worker, empath, and intuitive, and brings all of that into therapeutic healing for folks who need that. So I want to move on to some, I have a particular gripe that drives me insane with the New Age community being super positive and saying things like, well, if you think that, it's going to happen. And if you have a negative thought, it's going to manifest. And this makes me crazy because to me, it's like, then where do you go when you don't feel good? And with people who are into the intuitive arts, very often I hear this being said. And my response to it has always been that if that was true, I would have blown Earth up 4 or 5 times by now with the amount of negative, sad, black thoughts that I've had to process. So what is your take with that, Neela?
Well, first of all, I appreciate your honesty, because I think if all of us are honest, we've all had moments when we could absolutely have blown up the entire Earth with our dark negativity. To me, that's part of being human, and it's accepting it. So if you're in a dark negative space, the thing to say if you want to be all New Agey and positive is, wow, I've really got some dark stuff coming up. Good. This is an opportunity to go find out what it is and to heal it and to work with it. But, you know, we do have negativity. We've all been wounded. I don't know anyone who's come through a perfect childhood and is free of woundedness. I also don't like that part of the New Age philosophy, because I see people tormenting themselves with guilt, which certainly is not positive, and saying, oh, I got sick. What did I think wrong?
Yes, so, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's really hard on people. It's like we all have things happen to us that are negative. I know a woman who used to say that her spiritual teacher said, the closer you come to spirit, to source, to sun, to the light, the better chance there is that you can get burnt. That, you know, that much light and sun on you can be challenging. Mm-hmm. And that when we choose to develop ourselves spiritually, I think part of what we're saying is, I am willing to look at all the darkness within me, because I know the more of it I get out, the healthier and more positive I can be, the more I can access my subconscious mind, the more I can help others. So I'd like to say, I think darkness is a part of humanity. And it's part of all of us, that the healthiest thing we can do is accept it, embrace it, look at our dark sides, and choose to operate more from the light and be more positive by facing the darkness. My own teacher has also said that the light and dark are always in perfect balance, like the yin-yang symbol. And so the more we open to spirit, the more we open to the light, the more we also allow the darkness to be of equal strength, that the choice of a spiritual person is to live from the light, not right. to negate or deny the fact that there's darkness there.
Right. I love that. I have seen lots of people, it makes me weep, who do believe that something happened because they caused it, because they were having a bad thought. So then they shut down that bad thought rather than getting it out of their body and processing it. And it's just, to me, so damaging, that concept.
At this point, I really see the world as a very positive place, all the way to the point of when the dark things happen and when I'm feeling down and when I'm feeling challenged, that I can step back and say, okay, world, what are you showing me? What are you teaching me today?
Exactly.
And just embrace it. And exactly. I like to say to everyone out there, just, hey, you know, we've all got our darkness. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's part of who we are, and it's part of what makes us what we are. And it sometimes is what propels us to grow and change.
Yes, totally agree. So what do you think about soulmates and twin souls? Because I know there's lots of people who seem to believe that we are all here to have a soulmate or a twin flame, which I'm not quite sure what the difference is. People have different concepts about that. Is that something you run into that people are overly concerned with? And what is your take on that?
You know, none of us have the answers to how all this works. So I'll give you my opinion. I see the world more as a teacher, and we come in to have whatever experiences are most appropriate to our level of soul development. And in some lives, that may be to learn how to be strong on our own. So maybe we don't have a soulmate in that life. For some, it's to find a person they fall madly in love with who challenges them to grow, because it's not necessarily the healthiest of relationships. Exactly. And there are people that sometimes we meet that we feel such a strong sense of soul connection to. And for those few who are lucky enough to find one of those, it can be wonderful or it can be challenging. I've seen people who are madly in love in a way that they seem just destined for each other, and then go through intense challenges together. So to me, that's kind of almost a Western concept. If I hold the right image, then everything's going to be positive. I'm going to find the perfect soulmate. I'm going to have the perfect job. Everything in life is going to be great. And if not, I've done something wrong. And I see it as this whole plane is someplace we come to, we learn, we grow. We learn a kind of peacefulness and acceptance of whatever we are given. And I see spirituality more as I will find joy in each moment, even if that moment is, this isn't what I wanted right now. Gee, it's hard, but I know that I can learn something from it. I'm still going to maintain my positive attitude.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that. And that does not seem to be so much New Age as more metaphysical. People call themselves metaphysical. So I like that distinction there. What do you think about our ability of whether or not we can change a life path, and how much of it have we set up before we come into this life versus how much of it we can or cannot change once we're here? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, I have thoughts on it. But again, that's one of those questions of I want to say, gee, how would I know?
Right.
I'm just here kind of living my life, trying to figure it all out. And you're asking some very profoundly deep metaphysical questions.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts?
Okay, I'll give you my thoughts, sure.
Yes, I'd love to hear them.
You know, I've worked with people who have been really damaged and are really struggling with their life. And I see how as they do the work, the courageous work to really change and bring themselves together and heal, that their lives become much better. One could argue that that is changing their path. One could also argue that they came in with the strength to do this work, and so it was predestined.
Right.
So I don't really know how to answer that in a definitive sense. I would say that if you have the courage to face the dark parts of yourself rather than trying to ignore them, and to do the work, and to have the courage to be in life rather than escape life, life gets better and better. Would you call that changing your path?
Good question. That's a very good question. And I'm not sure of the answer on that either. I tend to lean towards what our teacher has talked about, that most of our life is set up before we get here. And then the real question is, how do we handle all of it? So if we've decided to climb a mountain, that mountain is going to be there. And the question is, do we do that with joy, or do we do it upset and feeling like a victim, or do we do it scared, etc.? But the mountain is something we picked before we got here. And I always like to look at, why would we pick that mountain to climb? What was it we were hoping to accomplish, and try to shift to a more soul perspective? But that's pretty advanced metaphysical thinking for
Actually,
a lot of Westerners.
You could take it one level further and say, I'm not even sure it matters anymore. Why? It's just that this mountain is here and I have a choice. I mean, you've seen people who go, oh man, why do I have to climb this mountain? It's so unfair. And someone else who says, oh, cool, a mountain. Okay, I'm going to strengthen myself so I can climb it.
Exactly.
I do think we have choices in that.
Exactly. That's a very good point to make with that. That is a really good way to look at it. However, with some new age people who come in for help, they very often will say, if I just sit and think differently, like The Secret, I will manifest that mountain going away. I haven't seen that work very much, I have to say.
I was going to say, I haven't seen that work very much either. In fact, sometimes I see those people then, who all their New Age beliefs, becoming very depressed because the mountain hasn't disappeared, which exactly. is why I choose more of an acceptance. It's exactly. like, okay, today there's a mountain in front of me. Mountain looks pretty solid. I tried meditating, the mountain's still there. Okay, let me go get some climbing tools and figure out how to climb the mountain. So maybe I can find some good friends to climb with me. Maybe I can actually have a good time climbing the mountain. That to me is the way we empower ourselves to make our lives more joyful.
Exactly. I completely agree with that. And I think I could be wrong, but I think that is more of an Eastern and metaphysical point of view than a lot of Westerners don't really look at it that way. It's more, I should be able to make the mountain go away. And I find that doesn't work at all. I much more prefer your outlook and go in that direction.
Well, you know, we were trained by a more Eastern teacher. And yes, I think that is a more Eastern view. Yes. But I think on any spiritual path, if you look deeply enough, at some point, it's about coming to peace and accepting whatever it is that's around you. And that's the one thing that nothing can take away. I can't promise a person that if they meditate and cultivate, their lives will be perfect. But I can promise them if they learn the strength to be able to have a good attitude towards whatever approaches them, that they can hold on to.
Yes, I agree with that. And it's the same concept too for meditation is not, for me, the concept that you go meditate in a cave somewhere and then you have to come back and face life. The idea is that you meditate enough that you can call up that energy while in life, while in a traffic jam, while in an argument with somebody, that you can then call up that spiritual energy to balance yourself while life is going on. So it's not too different lifestyles. It's actually one lifestyle getting strengthened by the practice of meditation.
And talking about that, taking it one step further, I do a lot of work with couples. And part of the belief of that is the power of energy. So if you're in that discussion with someone or that argument with somebody, and you are bringing about a more positive energy and more awareness of what your own dark places are, again, rather than ignoring them, it's amazing how that can just calm down an argument with somebody or bring more light into a business situation with your coworkers.
Exactly. That is very true. Very true.
One way of being a healer is just to, as you own your own darkness and as you spread more positive energy around you, you affect everyone around you.
Yes, that is true. Exactly. I often talk about the idea that in the physical sciences, if you change one electron of one atom, the entire substance changes, and that we can all be electrons, shift our energy, and everything around us will shift as well.
That's a very nice way of putting it. You know, I do a lot of workshops, and part of what I teach is show people is that as one person's energy shifts, look how it can affect someone else's energy. Or if you meditate with someone from this perspective, how the other person's meditation has changed.
Exactly.
And it's always about, let me show you that how it works, and let me show you the effect of how your energy affects the energies of everyone around you.
That must be extremely powerful also in working either with couples or family systems.
Yes.
To show people that impact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting when you work with a couple and you stop them from, I don't want to hear what your complaint is about your mate. Let's work on healing this pain and wound you have. And then all of a sudden, my partner's become so much nicer. It's
right.
Like, well, no, actually, your partner hasn't changed at all.
Right.
But you have.
On a completely different subject, what do you think about trans-channeling and why do some people become trans-channelers as opposed to channeling? Like, so that just for listeners, the distinction is a trans-channeler is someone who leaves their body, has no memory of what happens from that point on. They go somewhere else. Very often they go somewhere to an interdimensional schoolroom of some sort. And then another spirit comes in and works with people
And then the human comes back and the spirit leaves. That's a transchannel compared to people who have memory and feel another energy or another being or another entity, and then speak the words that the other spirit is talking, and they have memory of that. So transchanneling is kind of a very specific thing, and I have some thoughts about that, and I was curious what your thoughts are about why some people become transchannelers and others do not.
Okay, well, you're getting into probably somewhat of a controversial topic here. So yes. I want to say first, I have a great deal of respect for many trans channels that come through with some very valuable and very profound information. I'm also aware that it's a very tricky practice, mm-hmm. and that there's a very fine line between somebody being a genuine trans channel and somebody, in a sense, almost having a dissociative state in which another part of them, sometimes even a slightly wiser part, comes through and speaks. Mm-hmm. And so part of my feeling about that is caution. It's a practice that can very easily disrupt a person's psyche. Mm-hmm. And so I know there's a lot of people in the New Age community who really want to be trans channels. And that worries me a little bit. It's like, you know, when you're really centered and you're really grounded and your energies are really wide open, you can pick up a lot of very valuable information, very profound healing information, without disconnecting from your physical self. And so I have known, and as you know, I've known some trans channels that I think can do some very profound work. I've also seen people who think they're channeling, but aren't really, and it's very hard to tell the difference. So I just have a lot of caution around the practice, as well as a lot of respect for it.
Yep, I agree with you on both of those. I've had some probably blasphemy or heretical, I don't know what that word is, being a heretic, thought about trans-channeling is that sometimes some of the trans-channels I have met, it seems to me that they have so many problems in their life and have been so fractured in childhood that the only way to really keep them on a path is to let another spirit in every once in a while and get them back on track. They need extra help actually surviving this life on Earth. And I've said that to a few trans channels, but I must say they never spoke to me again after I said that.
So. Well, that's why I started by saying this is somewhat of a controversial topic.
Yes.
I mean, sometimes people are fractured as a child, and in that fracturing, they do actually, part of them connects very deeply on a spiritual plane, and that allows them the ability to bring through other entities or other energies. And that's not always healthy for the individual. And again, I'm not saying in all cases, there are certainly some very fine channels out there. But again, it just worries me. I've seen too many people who are doing it from a place of being injured rather than a place of strength.
Yes. I know I read in a Taoist practice, the 18th gate of Dragon Gate Taoism, and I had talked to Liang about this also, that this person in the Dragon's Gate books, he was fractured on purpose and was taught then to be a Taoist sorcerer, and he was taught basically how to leave his body behind by very severe practices that were really terrifying in some way. And the teacher that we have studied with, the human, Liang, had said to me that he had had similar things done to him as a child for similar reasons, not just childhood stuff, but also for the practice. So it's a very interesting topic to me about this concept of what does it take to be a trans-channeler, and does one have to really have the ability to detach from the body, be instilled in such a tough path like that, where you kind of are forced to dissociate.
Doesn't that also touch again a little bit on the idea of traumatized people not wanting to be on this plane? Again, there's a whole lot that we can do as healers without being fractured and living fully on this plane. And so there are so many people out there that really are unhappy with life, and life certainly is challenging at times. And they want to be a trans channel or to go into other planes because they just feel that this life is too painful.
Exactly.
And I would really kind of encourage people to live their life and find joy in the living of their life here and to heal and to bring themselves together. And for those that are natural trans channels and that happens, that's fine. But not to seek it. Rather, I would rather see people seeking wholeness.
Yes, I agree. So we are coming to the end of our time. If you could tell people where they can find you, how they can find you, that would be fabulous.
Well, I have a website at neelapeak.com. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I am in. I do workshops in Denver, Colorado. I do workshops in Atlanta, Georgia, other places if people are interested. And I do sessions both by phone and Skype all over the world.
And is your website All Things Healing? Is that still up and running?
That is another website that is an alternative healing website that is actually a really beautiful website. I'm the editor-in-chief there. My own personal website is just neelapeak.com.
Got it. All right. Well, thank you, Neela. This has been absolutely fantastic. And I'm hoping that people who are listening, who are struggling with issues, will contact you if they are willing to take on the warrior path of healing, because it is a warrior path to go look at the darkness. And I agree with you that when we clear out the darkness, we become a better channel for the light. And there's more room for joy and contentment to come in once we get the gunk out. But getting the gunk out can be a little tough at times.
But being on the other side of having gotten the gunk out can be quite beautiful.
Fantastic. Yes, indeed. Well, thank you for your time, and I will talk to you in the near future.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was excellent. We thank Dr. Neela Peak for joining us, and we would like to remind you that you can find her at neelapeak.com. That is N as in Nancy, E-A-L-A-P as in Paul, E-A-K-E.com. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We're going to announce that call-in number later, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. If you couldn't catch our last week's show, you'll find the recorded archive link, as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. We want to connect with as many of you as possible, so be sure to share that link with other people. Also, visit psychicbloggers.com to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic and spiritual development. Everything is there between psychicbloggers.com and the archives of psychicaccesstalkradio.com. What you have is a very, very intriguing and helpful sort of online university of psychic topics. Definitely check those out. Also, if you're at a crossroads in life, if you don't know where to turn, if you're confused, then you need a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, and you can find them at psychicaccess.com. We are the best verified and the most accuracy-tested psychics on the net today, and we all have very unique and specialized gifts. It doesn't matter what you're into. If you prefer tarot, we got that. If you prefer mediums, we have that. Numerology, runes, we have it all. Every psychic on the site has a detailed profile for you to really check them out and make an informed decision about who to consult with. It is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. We are very picky about our psychics, and we only want the best. All of the co-hosts, including myself, work at PsychicAccess.com. And if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. Incidentally, site owners and webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading from traffic referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, and we sincerely hope that you do, invite your friends to join us in our chat room and to listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so by all means, spread the word, and we very much appreciate it. Back to you, Nona.
Well, that was just fabulous information from you. Thank you, Stephen, for keeping us up to date on all the things that Psychic Access has to offer. So do any of the co-hosts have any comments about the interview, any insights or extra thoughts you'd like to share?
Okay. Wow. Yes. Is that my audio going, wow? Is that the mothership that the aliens? I loved how you touched on a lot of really intelligent and much needed areas of everything. You know, and I really appreciated what you brought up about being a reader, how you listen to people read, and how it can really get to you. Because if a reader is oblivious to something, you didn't, you know, make mention. Well, for me, for example, I don't have a degree. Well, I should, but I don't have a degree because I've gone to so many psychiatrists and psychologists all my life. I feel that I deserve it.
Right, exactly.
But I do feel my view on that is it's helped me be more objective and also judge not about some things. So on the end of the person maybe that's gone through some of the things, but in a way where I was the person seeking out a psychologist or some pretty bad ones, right. Or psychiatrist. Well, yes. But being open to really wanting to get some sorting things out, because I was what I am, you know, that it has been helpful for me. And I much appreciate doing readings that are more raw and more, I guess, spiritually helpful for people. I above all, that's what I love. Yes. I love the best. Not that I'm saying I don't love helping with it, you know, but I just love that. And, you know, there's a story about Dr. Clarissa Pinkola's Estes. She's a union you might have heard of her.
I love her, yes.
Oh, she's fantastic. And, you know, you might have heard about the red shoes, what she talks about. And it's really interesting because it has a lot to do with, you know, it's like the red shoes, and it derives from the ancient fairy, you know, fairy got those fairy tales, those Grimms, those grim fairy tales, you know, that before they got them like nicely up. But it has a lot to do with, it speaks about the importance for each person to find the shoes that uniquely fit. I'm not going to say her feet because he can wear them too, rather than wearing, you know, ill-fitted shoes in an effort to please somebody else. So, you know, sometimes we go through life believing that the handmade life is a life well lived, but the red shoes are a symbol of the journey one takes towards becoming one's true authentic self. And it's just like, you know, the Wizard of Oz and Dorothy wearing it and everything. And so seekers discover that all along, like she did, and the Wizard of Oz, that they have had that which was just that would take them home. They had it all along inside them. So we may travel life's path in one or two ways: in handmade shoes crafted with love and care according to the unique needs of each of us, our souls, or in red shoes, which promise instant fulfillment, but, you know, ultimately will be leading us to a painful, hollow and split existence. And I've been through that place as well. But the importance for each of man or woman to find the shoes that that will uniquely fit their feet rather than wearing the ones that don't in an effort to please someone else. So I feel that you know, you guys are touching base on certain things, and I feel that that's symbolically, well, I always liked that story. I really connected with that story. So everybody hear up, don't wear those red shoes. I like red shoes, but still, make your own.
I know I get frustrated sometimes doing readings, and people need so much help, more help than just a quick reading. And I don't know if they go and get it sometimes, and it just is heartbreaking for me. And I love when we have someone like this on. You had your guest on who talked about the marriage.
Intermarriage, alchemy. Yeah, exactly.
It's a blending of that psychic and classical therapeutic. And so there are people out there that can help psychic folks and help spiritual folks get more balanced, get more grounded, get more integrated. And sometimes just a reading isn't enough to do that. That, you know, you need to go through a process, a bigger process, to get through some old childhood stuff and wounds and things like that.
So. And be open to it without going back into the horrors when you're an adult, of horrors of the past when you're a child, like you don't know how to deal with it.
Right.
So it was an excellent interview. I really enjoyed your guest a lot. Thank you for having her.
Thank you for enjoying her. So, anybody else? Want to add any comments, or we ready?
I've got some. Steve, was that you?
I've got comments as well, but you go ahead, Steve, and I'm happy to go after you.
Well, I think we all have comments here because it was a great interview. You know, one of the things that I like about your guest tonight is that, you know, she acknowledges something that I try to share with all of my clients. You know, let's face it. We get, and I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I get one or two people to call me up to complain about a toxic relationship, to get some insight about a harmful relationship, and also to, you know, understand where things are going with that relationship. And one thing I always try to impress upon them is that, you know, it's easy for me to see from my perspective that you are actually faced with a beautiful, marvelous opportunity. I mean, sure, a lot of times our clients are attached to one person, mm-hmm. and so it's hard for them to raise up and get that awareness. But from my perspective, I don't see their attachment to this or that person as being important at all, except to them. What I see is a person who is in a spiritual sort of boot camp. Now, how many of us, I know I did, you know, when we were younger, you know, thought about maybe going into the army or something because, you know, we didn't think about the boot camp. We thought about our better selves, our perfected selves after we got out of the boot camp. I mean, I'm sure if we would have our way about it, we'd much prefer to have the perfect body without going through the boot camp experience to craft that perfect body. You know, it's painful. Pain is an unavoidable side effect of human relationship. And, you know, I just try to impress upon my clients that, hey, You're really having the spotlight shown on yourself right now. You know, if you are failing to take the opportunity to learn about yourself from the way that this person is treating you, then you're going to perpetuate a harmful pattern. And it doesn't take a psychic to predict that you're going to have future frustrated relationships as well.
Right. Great point. Really a great point, Steve. And I totally agree with you.
Yeah, it was a great interview, by the way. I enjoyed it.
Oh, good. Yeah, she was wonderful. Steve, something you'd like to add?
Yes, I thought it was a great interview. I actually wanted to share a short story with you guys about, it's actually something I was told by my very good friend Maggie in France whilst I was away on vacation. She was telling me about a gentleman in Normandy called Père Alexandre, and he was an exorcist, very well-known exorcist in his time, passed to spirit now. But she was saying that she'd spoken with him and was asking him about his experiences and what most surprised him. And she was telling me that he sat down and explained to her that the most unusual abilities he'd observed was the people that would work out in the countryside. Just help me out with the words, Steve. I'm so jet lagged and full of cold. Oh, Maria, I hear you. The people that would be out with the sheep.
Oh, the shepherds.
Yeah.
The shepherds, sorry. How ridiculous of me. I'm just, I don't know which time zone I'm in. But anyway, he was saying that there were shepherds that would be out for weeks on end in the middle of nowhere with their herds. And he said that he remembers that there was a gentleman who had property out there in the middle of nowhere, and he'd had some kind of argument with a shepherd. And the shepherd had cast some kind of spell on his property, which caused poltergeist activity.
Mm.
And Père Alexandre was called there to try and stop the poltergeist activity. And he was explaining to my friend Maggie that the only time he couldn't stop spiritual activity like that, malevolent spiritual activity, was when a shepherd was involved. And with this particular case, he couldn't stop the poltergeist activity. So he actually managed to get hold of the shepherd and said, "Did you cast a spell on this gentleman's home?" And he said, "Yes, I did." He said, "Well, we'd like you to come and remove it." He said, "Well, this gentleman offended me quite deeply, and I'd like an apology." So Père Alexandre took the shepherd to the house, and sure enough, he got his apology from the chap that owned the house. And he did something that stopped the poltergeist activity. And actually, a couple of days later, Pat Alexander went back there to the property and was talking with this gentleman. And again, the gentleman that owned the property said something negative about the shepherd. And all of a sudden, the activity started again, straight away, as they were speaking about him. And Père Alexandre contacted the shepherd again and said, well, you'd put a stop to this, and now it started again. He said, well, the only way it would have started again is if he's gone back to his old habit of criticizing me, because when I removed the spell, I said that it could only be removed as long as he remains faithful to his apology, and I'm not prepared to come back and remove it again. And my friend Maggie, who's really quite like a mother or grandmother to me, she's 95 now, she was saying that she'd met a number of shepherds. She's had a very interesting life, actually, but she said that she was always really struck by their eyes and almost their ability to mesmerize when they look at you. So I just thought it was a very interesting story to share with you guys.
Yeah, and it was kind of humorous too. I especially love that cunning little codicil that the spellcaster, you know, sort of clapped on to the end, almost like an addendum or an amendment to a constitution. You know, he was very clever for doing that. But you know,
yeah, but you see, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's very important to me, I think, the concept of permission as well. That's all I was going to throw in there, Steve. I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
No, I agree with you. Well, what I was saying to you guys, one of the things I wanted to say to you guys and to you as well, Marie, is that if what stands out, what's special about a shepherd is they would spend an enormous amount of time with nature, which you don't generally do now. And I'm convinced that there's a very clear connection between living with or embracing nature and our spiritual abilities.
I could not agree more.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah, being in nature, you know, call me crazy, but I believe that organic creatures, inorganic things, you know, I live in nature, very close to nature, not too many humans here, although there are more by the day, unfortunately. And I tell you, you know, you definitely feel a sense of woodland spirits or aquatic or maritime spirits. You definitely get a sense of sort of external consciousnesses, and even the trees, I definitely feel a kinship with them. And I'll tell you something, I share this with you. You know, I think that what people might misinterpret as a curse is actually just sort of bad thinking of other people directed toward that individual. And I feel like I'm impervious to that type of situation because I feel that the concept of permission is vital. I feel like I have to give any impinging or interfering negative energies permission to deal with me. And I don't give them that. I totally revoke that permission by doing self-affirming things.
I agree with you, Stephen. But I tell you, I know that there was one time in France when I'd had too much to drink. My friend Maggie, as I said, she's 95, and you know, she's towards the end of her life there, and she can drink quite a lot of whiskey and wine. She's incredible. And I can't keep up with her. I don't even try. But because I'm there and the day really revolves around food, you know, you wake up and have breakfast, and then after breakfast you go and have your shower and tidy your room, and then we go to the market and decide what we want to get for lunch. Then we have a long 2-hour lunch, then a nap, and then it's time to start having a drink and preparing the evening dinner. It's all around food, but I don't even try to keep up with her. But I was drinking a bit of whiskey with her and got a little taste of whiskey. And I very rarely drink here in the US, but I did notice that I felt very compromised energetically and spiritually when I had too much to drink. I had some very, very strange dreams, and I knew that I was connecting with energies and entities that normally can't get near me.
Sure.
So I think that an important point to share with people is that when we do compromise our defenses somehow, then we
give permission.
We connect more easily with the lower realms. And sure. I know that your guest, Nonna Marie, was saying that I think she said at some stage that, you know, we should be in good condition emotionally, psychologically, physically, etc., to channel. And I think that the concept of keeping ourselves healthy in all regards, whether that's, you know, physical, again, it's emotional, it's psychological, spiritual, keeping ourselves healthy is the primary form of defense, in my opinion.
I agree with that 100%. And being grounded and grooming your physical body as well as your energetic body,
yes,
is just vitally important.
And washing, yeah, the basics of the energy. Don't you think, Nonna Marie? The, you know, having a, I have about 3 showers a day, mm-hmm, because I know that it cleanses the aura. And whether we're working with clients on the telephone or face to face, cleansing with oils and, you know, water, drinking water, grounding ourselves through good earthing food, being in nature, having animals, yeah, all of these things are great practices for just keeping ourselves well protected and down to earth.
It's amazing to me that most people will spend more energy on their car or their nails or their hairdo than they will on taking care of their energetic body and the spirits around them. And it's very,
yes,
frustrating to me that people say, oh, yes, I used to do that, but I don't now. Like, well, that's like saying you used to put gas in your car, but you don't now. That's why there's a problem. There's no gas in the,
yeah,
car.
Well, I was laughing with a friend the other day because she, you know, she drinks quite a lot every night, and she doesn't always eat very well, and she has the odd smoke of this and that. Doesn't really take care of herself, mm-hmm, but she goes to see this doctor about 3 times a week to have, you know, to have cleansing and dietary advice and this, that, and the other. And I said, you know, you're going to the doctor 3 times a week because you abuse yourself every night.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, okay,
well, guys. What's the point of doing these things to...
I have met people like that.
I've met people who used
to exercise and eat healthy so they could party harder and survive. Made no sense,
yeah,
whatsoever, but...
You know what? It's time now for the call-in number. Let me go ahead and give that to our listeners. The number is 724-444-4851. Repeat, 724-444-4851. When you get on the line, we ask that you be very clear and direct with your question, and let's keep it to one question, please, if at all possible. And now I actually have a caller from New York. That was fast. Hello, New York. How are you?
Hello.
Good evening. Thank you for calling. How may I help you this evening?
Hi. Yes. So, I was wondering, I'm trying to get in contact with, like, the spiritual realm, or, you know, some people say dropping into your body and to feel or whatever. And I don't know. I know there are many different ways. And I have a very busy brain. It's probably busier than most people's brain, although I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, specifically for me, what would be the best way to accomplish this?
Well, fortunately, you sort of halfway gave the answer there in when you were phrasing your question. You have to control, well, I don't mean to say control your brain, because it's not going to be possible quite yet, but being aware, more aware of the flow of communication inside your very active, hyperactive mind is a prerequisite to the sort of control that will allow you to harness the higher echelons of psychism. There's definitely no doubt about that. So, I mean, do you meditate at all? And if so, how often?
Well, that's the issue, that I can't quite do that because my mind won't shut up.
Ah, see, this is the problem. You've watched too many martial arts movies where the hero has to catch flies with chopsticks and all that good stuff. I'll tell you something. There's a very kinesthetic type of meditation, meaning very active type of meditation. You know, if you've got this idea in your head of sitting in a lotus position on a tasseled cushion, you know, with incense going, go ahead and jettison that image, because it's not the way meditation is done in the modern world. The point here isn't to control your mind at first, but to simply observe it. So you can just put, you know, in whatever situation you're in, the idea is to become more aware of what you're thinking about. I'm constantly surprised at some of the, you know, little paths and side roads that my mind takes me down. And I'll tell you something, if I were not paying attention to my mind, these things would not be very, very much in my awareness. It seems kind of obvious, but I mean, it's the truth. Constantly, I'm being surprised at what my mind is presenting to me for digestion and for pondering and things of that nature. So don't worry about, you know, making your mind be quiet or getting it to shut up or anything like that. Okay, the thing you want to do is simply, first of all, be aware of what it's presenting to you. And then in time, you'll have more ability to exert some influence over this. Okay, and once you can exert some influence over this, then, you know, you can more easily tap into and trust, for example, perhaps the energy fields of others, you see. So this would be the prerequisite step.
I'm sorry, the more I can do what?
You didn't hear me?
I didn't hear what you just said.
The more that you practice observing your mind, then the more you'll be able to connect with the minds of others. The more you'll be able to control your own mind as well. So that's what you should do. You shouldn't worry about trying to discipline your mind so that it's not active or not quiet. What you should do is observe it first and get to understand it and know how it operates, see what sorts of thoughts it presents to you. And obviously, it goes without saying that you should purge any sorts of intoxicants from your life, have a healthy physical regimen and things of that nature to facilitate the whole operation, okay? So that's about what I got for you right now, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, best of luck to you, and thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right, we have a caller now from Virginia for Maureen.
Thank you, Stephen. Hello, Virginia. This is Maureen.
Yes, hi. I was calling because I got injured at work, and I'm trying to see what's going on, like what's going to happen because my job is giving me a hard time.
Okay, so you're asking me if this injury is going to have dire consequences for your job. Is that what you're
concerned? No, not consequences. I got injured at work, and I'm out of work, and they're not paying me. My workers' comp is there so much stuff that's going on that I actually had to get me a lawyer today. So I'm trying to make sure I do the right thing by getting a lawyer.
Okay, so you want to know, absolutely. In fact, what I'm seeing is right now you're in useful sacrifice. I mean, it's very difficult that you're having to go through this because I don't feel that you thought that this would ever occur with the job you're at, that they would give you such a problem. You're injured at work. It's simple. You know, they should step it up. So when I'm saying you're in useful sacrifice, it's painful because it's almost like I feel it's really kind of sad. Did you feel that they would behave like this? I mean, you got injured at work. It's pretty simple. They should be taking care of it, and they're not. So you
exactly.
Are...
It's like they're blaming me for it, and like it's my fault or whatever. They're not paying me. I'm going through stuff.
Exactly. And you're not able... You tried to connect with them, fuse with them, and you brought in... I do see legal situation here. It's almost like you're feeling like they're trying to take something from you that is rightfully yours, and that means just... what they're supposed to do and back you if you get injured at work. It's simple. I do see your legal situation looks very favorable, and it doesn't. And I don't feel it's going to be going on forever and ever and ever. But I do feel that you made the right decision, absolutely. And I think, you know, really, what I really feel that you thought this out for a while before jumping right into the legal situation. You're okay. I wouldn't feel bad about what you did. You're put into a situation and they wouldn't work with you. They wouldn't talk. They wouldn't fuse with you to come together. I do see you benefiting from it. And actually, I see this to be a really great new start, even though I do see you're going to get some rest and your batteries need to be recharged. I see you being able to get rest. I do feel that you may be leaving there by choice, too. It's good.
Right,
you're okay. You're doing great, and you did have to. You needed to do this.
I want to find something else because it's just like the job. It doesn't make any sense. Like you said, it should be simple. It's not.
Yeah, it's like a betrayal. It's been a betrayal.
Right.
They let you down, and it's really sad. So try not to be too hard on yourself about that. You've gone through enough. It's not. You didn't bring this about. I feel that you tried to do whatever you could until you decided you were pushed into a situation. Your only option was this, and you're a good person. You wouldn't have done this if they would have just done, you know, what's wrong with people? And, you know, I do feel that you're actually, maybe this is a blessing. It moves you forward, and I see you going forward into a much better place in work as well. And really, I do. You don't want to be around people. This has been a long time coming, but it just sadly got hurt. But maybe this was like the kick in the butt that you, it's not like your journey, but somewhat. But I do feel that this is okay. And don't feel bad about what's going on. You did not pursue this in this direction.
No, I'm not. I had to fight back for myself. Because they were not on my side. I tried to get somebody that was on my side who can talk and speak for me because they wasn't listening.
Exactly. I agree, and I can see it's hard on you, and you're a good person. It's okay, and that you did the right thing. They should have cared more, but they didn't. You'll be fine, and a lot of great things are coming your way, and it's okay. But be nice to yourself while you're doing this. You didn't do anything wrong, okay?
All right, thank you so much.
I wish you well, and you'll be good for you, and also be nice to yourself. It's hard, I know. Okay, thank you for calling.
So yes, thank you so much. I need to hear that.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling, and you can find Maureen at psychicaccess.com. We have a caller now from Illinois for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Illinois? Hello, Illinois, can you hear me? Do we have a call from Illinois?
Yeah, Illinois should be on the line there, Steve. Let's see. Hold on one second.
I think maybe somebody's doesn't realize they've got through. They're still whatever they're doing in the background. See, this doing the dishes.
This is why I don't like being in limbo on calls. You know, it's sort of like being in an internecine dimension, in between place. You know what I mean? It's like being in a big gray area. We're going to try to get Illinois back. Let's see here. Okay, we do have another caller from Illinois for you, Steve. Let's see if this person.
Okay, I just want to say for the first caller from Illinois, Steve, that they do need to clean that cupboard up on the left a little bit more thoroughly. It's not quite done yet. But anyway, next caller from Illinois. Who's calling us?
I'm from Illinois. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. What's your name?
Linda.
Linda, how can we help you?
I recently ran into a guy that I haven't seen in 2 years, and I want to know which way is it going with him now.
You want to know? That last part again for me, Linda. You want to know
what exactly is going on with him now? Because he wants to like reconnect and things like that, and I haven't seen him in 2 years, and I just happened to be somewhere where he was and ran into him.
Okay, well, the first part of the answer to your question, Linda, is that he's been having an extremely difficult time. I feel that his personal circumstances have been very challenging for quite some time, and it feels to me that at the beginning of this month, that situation really came to a head. So he's somebody that's had difficult circumstances to deal with, a lot of difficult conversations and thoughts and feelings. And I feel that he's still quite sensitive, still quite raw from that situation. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, don't get involved with him. It means that you need to just take it a little slowly, realize that he hasn't been feeling great. I feel that he's been quite heavily criticized. I feel that quite hurtful things have been said to him by somebody that he cared for. And I also feel that he's been feeling pretty anxious and stressed, to put it mildly. But I do feel that he wants to communicate with you. I certainly feel that there's an interest in connecting with you. I do feel that when he is feeling better, probably later towards the end of October into November, I feel that his circumstances and his energy will be more stable. And I feel that when he gets to that point, he'll be a really sort of confident, dynamic, exciting person to be around. And I also feel that he'll be in far better shape emotionally than he's ever been, because he is somebody that's going to really turn the situation he's faced to his advantage. In other words, he is going to draw good lessons from that experience and move forward. So the answer quite simply is just take it, take your time, know that he's a little bit hurt at the moment, and it's going to take him some time to heal, but I do feel that he is interested, and I do feel that he's learned well from his recent situation, and I feel that he could be quite an exciting, quite a fun person to befriend and get involved with as you progress through the fall season, Linda. How mm-hmm. does that sound?
But I've reconnected with him. It's been like a couple of months now, and sometimes he calls me and sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah. Well, so as I said, you need to take it easy. Don't let your mind run away with itself. Just take quite a relaxed approach to it. As I said, he has been extremely stressed. He's had a lot on his plate, and it's not quite the time to really push the situation and try and turn it into something else. I feel you need to take it easy for a good few weeks and allow the situation to unfold, allow him to settle down. Basically, he needs to find his feet again, and I feel that he will do in October. So I honestly feel that you've got to just relax, but potentially he's a
and let him
a
just
good
connect with me and not
friend.
Me connect with him. Let him reach out to me.
Well, I don't feel that you need to avoid contacting him, Linda. I'm just saying to you, take it easy. Don't put any pressure on yourself or him. Just see how it unfolds. You know, his situation's been very difficult, as I said. So let him just work through the things he needs to work through without pressure. And I feel that towards the end of October, you can, you know, it'll develop from there, because I feel that he'll be in much better shape. He'll have worked through and really started to let go of the difficulties he's experienced in the summer, particularly in August and the very beginning part of this month. So basically, they take a chill pill. He is potentially of interest for you.
He wasn't.
Say that again, Linda.
What did you say, the phone was blank?
Oh, I basically said, yeah, in summary, Linda, just take a chill pill, relax with the situation, and let him find his feet again. And I feel that as you get towards the end of October, he'll be more settled, and I feel that the situation can develop from that point. That doesn't mean you have no contact with him until then, but I feel that he needs a few weeks to get himself recalibrated after his challenges of the summer, and you should just relax and go with the flow. Okay.
Okay. All right then.
All right, Linda. Good luck and take care. Thank you for calling.
All right. Bye bye.
Thank you very much for calling, Linda, and thank you, Steve. If you would like to schedule a reading with Steve, by all means, please find him at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Illinois for Nona Marie.
Hello, Illinois. What's your name? Are you there? Illinois is the phantom caller tonight. Doesn't seem to be anybody there. Okay, how about Michigan? Someone from Michigan on the phone?
I'm from Michigan.
Oh, good. What's your name?
My name is Kim.
I'm sorry, you broke up. Your name is?
Kim.
Kim?
Kim. Kim.
Okay, how can I help you?
Well, I just kind of got a whole lot of everything going on, and just wondered if I was ever going to get a break. I've got,
I lost my son. It'll be a year next month. I have a hard time with that, and I'm on medical leave right now. I'm fighting with workman's comp, and I don't know how that's going to go, and I just wondered if life is ever going to give me a break at all.
What is the first name of your son, by the way?
Travis.
Travis. So first, I want to talk to you just a little bit about Travis, because as soon as you said that, I had such a strong feeling of him being around you and being okay, and that his message to you is to stop criticizing yourself for the kind of mother that you were perfect for him, and that he was a bit of a handful, and you handled him wonderfully. So his hope with that message is that you're a little bit easier on yourself with your thoughts about his being on the other side. And he's really in a good place right now, and he's going to hang around you for a while to get you through these hard times that are going on. So one thing I would say is, you know, if you can forgive yourself, and you were perfect, you guys made an agreement about how your relationship would be, how life would be, and it went the way it needed to go for learning and for everything else. So I'm hoping that you will, that will lighten your heart just a little bit with Travis. It does feel to...
I was just down at the cemetery today with my daughter.
Yeah.
We were sitting there, and I was telling her about how I wish I would have done things different. You know, I would have to work so much and stuff. I understand.
And he has that very strong message for you, that what you did was perfect for what he needed. And remember, we're not here on earth to be perfect. We're here to also learn and to learn together. So we tend to do this when people cross over. We go over the list of everything we think we did wrong, everything we wish you could have done better. And I think it's time for you to let that go. It's eating up a lot of your energy. And you need your energy to be more in the present time right now. And I would say there was no giant, huge mistake that you made with him. There wasn't. And he doesn't feel that way either. So lighten up on that a little bit. Okay, if that's possible. I know that's hard, but I would, if you could, change your prayers to him of just saying, thank you for being in my life, rather than I'm sorry for being a terrible mother or making mistakes, because he doesn't feel that way. And he didn't feel that way when he was here on earth either.
Oh, he always thought I was the best mom.
Yes, that is very true.
You know, I could do some things over.
Yeah. So it does feel to me like you're going to have a rough time until about April of next year. And I would say to you that your focus needs to be on healing, that I would look at getting some therapy. I would look to going to a support group, and I would act as if you're recovering from a deep wound or from a broken hip or something like that. You're trying to get on with life, and I think you need to stop trying to get on with life for now and work on the healing aspect of life and just leave everything as is. And it will start to get better next year, April of next year. But for now, you're not in good shape, so the things that you try to do don't work out very well because you're only half here, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yep. So accept the fact that you need some healing time right now. And, you know, we sometimes spend more time washing our car and vacuuming the living room than we will on our own emotional life. So spend some time on you. It's not a selfish thing. It's like putting fertilizer in the garden so that you can grow more vegetables. All right?
Yeah, I know that's what Travis would want too. He thought the world of me. We were very close.
Yes, and you still are close, sweetheart. He hears you, and if you start meditating, you will hear him also. He is definitely still hooked up to you. He has not moved on. He wants to see you get over this hump, and then he will move on to his next assignment on the other side.
Okay, I try to meditate and stuff.
And get a support group.
See anything like with comp? Is that going to go through for me?
It will go through. It's going to be terribly delayed, and it is going to be like just about everything that can go wrong will go wrong, but you will get through it. But it will be a slow, arduous process. So just chip away. It'll be like chopping down a big tree. Just keep chopping, rest, chop some more, rest. But you really, really could use a support group of some sort. And there's plenty of groups out there for free where you can go and get a lot of help for grieving and also even for workman's comp. So get on the internet and start looking for some support. Sometimes you tend to do a lot of things on your own, way too much on your own. And this is not a time to be Miss Independent Lone Wolf. This is a time to have your wolf pack around you helping you out, and then you can be a lone wolf again. So look for some support for everything that you're going through.
Okay.
All right, sweetheart. And if you need more help, you can always call back to Psychic Access. You can call me or any of the other wonderful psychics we have online here.
Okay, well, thank you so much for talking to me. You made me feel better.
Good, sweetheart. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. We definitely are sending you wonderful vibes, and we wish you all the best. And if you would like a reading from Nona Marie, find her on psychicaccess.com. I have a caller now from Florida. Hello, Florida.
Yes.
Good evening. Hello. And thank you for calling. How may I help you?
My name is Ebony, and I've been in a relationship with one guy for like 5 years. Okay. And that relationship is just terrible. But I recently met another guy, and we kind of hit it off, and then things kind of went left. So I'm just kind of wondering about my love life at this moment.
All right. Let's find out what's going on. 1 second while I pick up on that, okay?
Okay.
1 second. This is definitely a complex situation, but, you know, even complex situations also have solutions. 1 second here, picking up on this. Well, the problem is the changeability of emotions, either in yourself or your partner, and probably in both. And that's one reason why you're so easily attracted to this other special person. Probably you need to break up with guy number one. I'll tell you right now, there's not going to be a good future with the original fellow that you've mentioned. And I don't even think really, I think this isn't, you don't have to be Nostradamus to figure that out. You know what I mean? That's kind of a common sense type of deal. But I'm not speaking from common sense. I'm speaking from actual what I do. You know what I mean? I'm speaking as a psychic and not as a Dr. Phil type of person. I can tell you right now that the instability in this man's emotions, the problem, gentlemen, that's not going to bode well. And so what I would recommend, what I see here that you need to do is choose neither one of them. Obviously not either one of them. You need to first break up with the one, but I'm telling you this right now, if you go from the one straight to the other without a period in between, you're going to set yourself up for failure with gentleman number two. I promise you that.
Okay.
What you need to do is break up with gentleman number one. And how long have y'all been together?
5 years.
5 years. If I were you, I would take at least 6 to 7 months being single, no man whatsoever. I would take at least that long, if not longer. And then because you got to shake off the emotional residue of this past relationship, this problematic relationship, because I'm going to tell you, there's a part of you right now that's used to these problems. And maybe, and you know, this is something for you to think about when you're laying awake at night, but there's a part of you that might even like these problems. And if you don't take this time off, then you're get to understand, to troubleshoot, why did I let this happen? How could it have? If you don't do that, then you're going to just replicate the entire problem with the next guy. And I don't care if he's Richard Simmons. I don't care if he's the most benign, milquetoast, the nicest guy in the world. You know, it's going to sour the next relationship. So that's my prescription for success for you, okay, Ebony?
Okay.
All right, I wish you all the best. I know how difficult it is, but I also know that you've got the strength to do it. Thank you very much for calling us this evening.
Thanks.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, we have a caller now from Arkansas for Maureen.
Thank you. Hello, Arkansas. This is Maureen. Hello. Hello.
Oh, hi, this is Arkansas.
Hi, Arkansas. I know that's not your name, but
hi. I was wanting to get a reading from Nona Marie.
Well, we can't do that. Whoever, sorry, got me. Sorry, you got me.
No, that's great. I would love a reading from you.
Thank you.
My question's more just kind of a general state of mind that I'm struggling with lately. I have gone through massive changes in my life between relationship, job, and living scenario. So it makes sense, the things that I'm struggling with. But I just can't quite seem to shake it, and I'm very judgmental on myself. So the things that I'm struggling with are just being overwhelmed and incredibly scattered and very alone, but I know I need to be right now. And I think I'm doing a pretty good job of not trying to fix it all, but I think it's just hard to shake. It's hard to shake all of these ways of being that I don't want to be. And I know intellectually what will help me, but I find it very hard to be disciplined and focused. And yeah, I would just love your input on that in general.
Well, you know, I really want to help you as best as I can, but with the time restraint, I mean, I could go into this for a long time because I follow what you're saying. Could you kind of put this in a more of a direct way? How about this? How about this? I'll put it in a direct way for you.
Okay.
If it's okay, because I understand where you're coming from. And this is what I'm getting. You know, I feel that, have you ever, you might want to pick this up, Dark Night of the Soul. It's a pretty intense book. It has a lot to do with, you know, it's like, you know, if when you're at a point right now, if you return to your, if you self-reject and then you return to your old life, it's just like everything's like off-centered or off-beat, but you're in a dark place, but you're really coming into a really fine, or you're going towards a really fine place. So it's like they call it Dark Night of the Soul because the night is a very difficult time, while others, you know, you see others like are flowing in their journey and insight and everything. But this is your journey right now, and you're going to come out on top. I know it's really easy for me to say because it's I get what you're saying. It's almost like you feel like you know your path, but then you don't know it. You just are kind of like, I can see that you feel a bit impatient because you've put in so much work. You put in so much good work. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
Okay. So, and I don't like the P words, patience, persevere. And, you know, patience, persevere, what's the other one? Well, whatever it is. who wants to do that? I mean, but I do feel that things are going to break. It's almost like, you're absolutely going through a dark night of the soul thing. But with that is like, you're going to come back up and it's like, you're going through spiritual death. And it's almost like after, I'm just going to throw out like a long time. I'm going to put out like 10 long years of like, you're slowly being stabbed. And so from a spiritual rebirth, you'll go back to the very beginning. But it is so difficult because it's like, it almost feels like your brain's gone through some lobotomy type of feeling. But then you do know that you're on a spiritual quest. So nothing that anybody can say or do, even though they understand their suffering, it's an internalized suffering, but only you, it's a very private thing. But I do feel, it's almost like you're so profoundly aware of the suffering of humanity, I think, and you're a pretty deep person. And I do feel that you're going to find your way through this, and you're going to be so much more. You have a lot that you're going to make a big difference in a lot of people's lives. And I don't know if you realize that, but you are, or you already are. But this part of what you're going through is part of the process. It's pretty deep stuff. I know I can't even answer it in one quote, you know. But
you're exactly right on every front. And
I hope I helped you. I know because of time. Just don't.
No, that's
but
great.
Hang in there. Even if it feels uncomfortable, know you will feel like a runaway car. That's part of it. It's okay. It's okay. Don't you feel self-imprisonment? That's okay too. Everything. No, it's a paradox. But you'll be. And if you start losing too much spiritual faith, go somewhere that gives it back to you. I go to the beach or go to church. Do whatever you need to find it, so you don't go into a really dark, dark area. But you'll be fine. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling. And take care.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Arkansas, for calling us tonight, and thank you, Maureen. You can find Maureen at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Massachusetts for Steve.
Good evening, Massachusetts. Who's calling?
Yeah, this is Stephen. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Stephen. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm at the crossroads right now trying to find some work. Do you see me finding anything soon?
Well, let's have a look, Stephen. Let's see. I don't feel it's imminent for you, actually, Stephen, to be quite honest with you. So I do feel that you'll find an opportunity that works for you. But let me see. I'm feeling October. I don't feel it's this month. Yeah, I do. Again, the cards are saying the same to me. They're indicating later in October, Stephen. So I feel like you need to be... just to accept that it's not likely to happen this month, but it's more likely to be in October for you. But I do feel that you'll have an offer that you're pleased with. I feel that the organization that you work with will be a really nice organization to be with. And that's worth a lot. And it's really quite a family-oriented culture. I'm not saying it's necessarily a family-owned business, although it may be, but it really feels like an environment in which people look out for each other, and there's a good, healthy opportunity for you there. But again, feels like the end of October to me, not September. Okay?
Okay. What do you like me doing?
I feel that you'll be. I feel that the work you'll be doing will be quite pragmatic work, Stephen. I feel that you'll be using your practical craftsman's abilities. That's what I feel for you. I'm more drawn towards the sort of artistic craft and etc. That for you. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, Stephen. Good luck. Bye now.
Thank you very much, Steve. If you'd like a reading with Steve, visit him at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Ohio for Nona Marie.
Hi, Ohio. Who is this?
Kathy. Hello.
Hi. Yes, sorry, what's your name?
Kathy.
Kathy, what can I do for you?
Yes, I was just wondering if you just see things just running up on me. I'm just always having all these problems with my children. Or if you can't answer that, do you see me getting back into reading tarot cards? I'm just kind of afraid that I'm going to give people the wrong advice. I guess that's why. It's just like things come through all the time because, like my aunt, she was very psychic and she had what they call the deaf ear, and my grandma was into very in tune too.
So because we have a time... constraint, in a sense. One question. Let me deal with tarot. So you're talking about doing that for a living?
No, or I don't know if about doing it for a living, but just to help people more or less.
Yes. I think you have a real talent for it. However, you tend to get a little ungrounded when you do that work. So please make sure that you meditate, you cleanse yourself, and you keep yourself, you know, grounded on earth, because you get kind of woo-woo, you know, you get out there and then you're like a kite without a string. So some people have a hard time opening up. You have the opposite problem. You have a hard time staying anchored on earth. So keep yourself anchored. And I would say the tarot readings are a wonderful thing to do. And I would actually encourage you to go to festivals or farmers market, wherever there's a gathering, and set up a booth and do that for people there. And you could ask for donations. And I think you would be very good at it. And it would be a good practice for you as well. But like I said, make sure that you stay grounded, you meditate, carry crystals with you if you need to, or pyrite, fool's gold, or obsidian are very good crystals to have with you. They're very, very grounding. So I would do that. And you can also do some tarot readings for yourself, as long as you ask questions like, what am I learning? What is my guidance? Rather than asking a question, trying to get a result that you want. You can actually get some very good readings for yourself as well. Okay.
All right. If you have any more questions, call into Psychic Access. We can always help you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much for your
reading. Thank you very much. And if you'd like a reading from Nona Marie, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from New Jersey. Hello, New Jersey. How are you?
Hi, Carolyn.
Well, thank you very much for calling, Carolyn. How may I help you this evening?
I was calling because my ex, we've been talking lately, and I wanted to see, I want to know if you see us reconciling.
Ah, okay.
It's been a few months now.
Okay, that's a good question. One second while I pick up on that for you, okay?
His name is Sean.
Okay. Will they reconcile? Well, I do see that there will be a reconciliation. The only question is, will it be a durable one, a lasting one? That's the main question for me. What I expect is that, indeed, you guys will get back together. And when that happens, that's going to be a big opportunity for you to make some sweeping changes in this relationship that need to be made, okay? And if you fail to capitalize on that opportunity, then you're going to fall into a pattern of breaking up and maybe getting back together two or three times until things just ultimately kind of crumble into oblivion. You know what I mean? So what you want to do is, once again, you know, it's going to happen, so there's no need really to press for it to happen. Give him some time to think. Give him some time to miss you. He's not going to miss you if he gets a text from you. I mean, think of his missing you as a number, right? And every text, even a single letter from you, reduces that number just a little bit. And a phone call from you is going to reduce it even more. So right now, we're sort of in a no contact. Now, if he reaches out to you, that's fine, but let him reach out to you. And keep the conversation short for right now. That's what I would do if I were you, Carolyn. Because, again, he needs a little bit of time to realize what life without you is going to be like. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right. So, because I plan to visit my sister, I was going to visit him also. So should I not go through with visiting him? Should I just wait?
Well, I'm sorry. It wouldn't be fair if I answered that question because we only do one question per caller. It wouldn't be fair to the others. So call back next week and ask that question, and we'll answer that one for you, okay? Or call somebody at psychicaccess.com, and we'll answer it there.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Now, we have a caller from Florida for Maureen.
Okay, thank you. Hello, Florida. This is Maureen.
Oh, hi, Maureen.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. And what can I help you? What can I help you with?
Yeah, I wanted to ask about my love life, what you see coming up for that.
Okay, so because of direct questions, all I can do because of helpful. Are you open? Because we don't have much time, you know, for each read. I wanted to give you all I can. Are you asking about? Is there someone on your mind, particularly, just to get it out of the way, or are you open to anybody?
Well, I have someone that I really like, and okay. We've been kind of playing a game since January. Okay. And I kind of like. I don't know about him. I haven't heard from him. I mean, do you think I'll be hearing from him, or do you think
okay,
it's somebody
that's great.
New?
That's perfect. That helps. Okay, so yeah, sure. I get what situation. You know, it looks like he's completely burnt out from work. It looks like I see another guy around you too. I see one guy. It looks like he worked so much before, and then I don't see him working anymore. Does that sound like him? Then I see another one right next to him, another gentleman, and he's very aggressive. And you lose patience with him, and he's a little bit, he could rage. There's two different ones, or maybe they're two, and he's hurt you. I feel your heart's been in pain from this person. My gosh. You know, if one or the other, if this person that you are really interested in, like I said, I'm seeing two different males around you, but I do see a hard-earned victory come around the first part of the year, 2015, January. But I do feel that I feel my heart's in so much pain. So if he's brought you pain, this person you're asking me about, where it's so intense, it hurts, your heart hurts, and hasn't been repaired, there hasn't been any effort of repairing it, I'm encouraging you, and it makes you angry and not like you like to be that kind of person. I feel that take a hold of yourself and know what you deserve. And it's better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's better. It's much better. Even if you need to be distant for a little bit, it's better.
Like, is he going to try to come back to me or no?
If he does, I just am saying, I feel that your heart hurts even if he does, and it would be difficult, but I see a hard-earned victory. You don't like being who you are around him. So he will. I hope, I'm encouraging you to take note of this. You deserve better.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you do. Okay.
No, I know I do. I agree.
Okay. I know it's hard, but just know that you deserve better and take a hold of yourself. You can. I see good things happening after the first of the year. If you just have to hold on tight to yourself. Okay.
Okay.
And take care, really. Hold on tight. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you very much, Maureen. If you'd like a reading with Maureen, please find her at psychicaccess.com. And folks, that does it. We are at the end of yet another wonderful show. Thanks to Doug, who works behind the scenes and makes all of this happen with all of the technical details. We thank also Maureen, Nona Marie, and Steve, who has the show next week, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, Stephen, we've got Shannon Kring joining us. She's been doing a lot of research work for a documentary series on plant medicine. So she's been traveling all over the place. And she's been working with medical intuitives, but also looking at the psychic abilities of plants and how we can even connect with nature psychically. So that's the subject of our show next week.
Oh, it sounds fascinating. I am personally very interested in the consciousness of the vegetable world, and I'm certainly not alone. Join us next Thursday for that fascinating interview, and thank you very much for being with us tonight. Have a great week, everyone.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Psychicaccess.com. Documentary.